Let's today move into the essence of the ministry that from time to time, as I have been privileged to come before you, the document, volume 2, repeat after me, scripture distinctions.
Scripture distinctions.
Actualization in eternity.
Actualization in eternity.
Manifestation in time.
Manifestation in time.
And in this document, there is a section in here that we have individually handed out to you. And for those that are watching or listening to the webcast, there's an icon there in the section where the webcast of this message is, that if you click on it, it will be available for your viewing. It's really one page. Repeat after me, purpose of realizing divergent significations of eternality from temporality. Now, someone said, Pastor, my God, you got this all with all of these alities and cations in here, and amen. What this is before you is an outlay drawn from the document as we distinguish actualization in eternity from manifestation in time.
Yes.
Our purpose of looking at the mediums of eternality and temporality. One you see and you can depend upon. I should say one you can't see, but you can depend upon. The other one you see, but don't depend upon it.
Don't.
Eternality is spiritual.
Amen.
But it's forever.
Temporality
is passing as though it never was.
All right now. All right.
You can see it, but you better look quick. Because if it's temporal, it has a short duration.
Sure.
And so what we're doing here is conveying to you the purpose of ministering. And as we do so, we see the differences of us contemplating and considering eternality, which is unseen, over temporality, which is seen. What are the differences in significations? Are in the case of temporality, what are the implications of the things that we see versus the things in eternality that we don't see? I want you to, as we flow into the text this morning, which is found 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, and Gavin is our designated reader. Did vanish. What should the ministry be prioritizing? Eternality? The thing that we don't see with the natural eyes. Or temporality? The things that in the flesh we can't help but focusing on and looking at.
Jesus. Amen.
Hopefully everybody has the document. Purpose of realizing divergent significations of eternality from temporality. All right? Brother Deacon, well, let's see. I don't even get caught here, and, well, I guess we're going to have to do this in two outings. Read verse 7 down through verse 12. Actually, verse 13.
First on King James.
Yeah, do the King James first. Then we're going to focus on verse 12 after we contextualize.
All right.
This passage.
We're reading from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning verse 7 through 13, first from the King James Version.
Everybody got it, amen? All right, read.
Paul writes, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation.
Mm-hmm.
For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life.
Mm-hmm.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead."
Mm-hmm.
"Who, God, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf."
Mm-hmm.
"For our rejoicing," verse 12, "is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity."
See, that's why we got to stop and exegete that.
"Not with."
That word simplicity in there is it doesn't belong there. That it's a very screwed translation. But we'll get to that. Go ahead.
"Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God."
Mm-hmm.
"We have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly toward you." Verse 13. "For we write none other things unto you,
mm-hmm,
than what ye read or acknowledge."
What you can acknowledge, you cannot say to you, we are not writing to you, we're not conveying to you or communicating to you anything other than you are able to scripturally acknowledge.
Amen.
Amen.
"And I trust ye shall acknowledge,"
mm-hmm,
"even to the end."
And you will acknowledge these things as the Holy Spirit convey to you the essence of what they are.
Amen.
Throughout your life and,
mm-hmm,
abode and those things that you find yourself interfacing with,
all right,
in life.
Mm-hmm.
It's all according what has been placed there.
Yes, yes.
For the opposite effect, that as you receive eternal comprehension,
all right,
your reaction to them would be the opposite of what seemingly is incurred from these things. Now, before we get into the exegesis of verse 12, I want to just bring into focus the context. Paul writes to the Corinthians here, as he writes to them, they are going through many struggles and trials. And someone might say, the Corinthians? These were the smart people. And being in the coastal region, the economics surely had to be in place.
Right, right.
Amen. Well, suffering has no particular brand or name. It penetrates wealth.
Yes, it does.
And so-called intellectuality.
Right.
Because it is assignable. These are the things that we must understand. And he says in verse 7, which I'm just going to kind of give some highlights here. Time will not allow us to go through each one of these verses. But as you partake of the suffering, you shall also partake of the comfort.
Comfort.
And this is our purpose of realizing the differences of meanings and applications of eternality from temporality. And these two terms I want you to focus on this morning.
All right.
Eternality is not preached about that much in ministry. Temporality, yes. It seems to dominate. Because after all, as you define them, temporality are the things that are all around us.
All around.
The things that we see, the things that we confront, the things that we interface with.
Yes. Amen.
Everything around you physically is temporary.
Temporary.
In temporality. Yet, the scriptures predominantly, that is the great scriptures. Everybody say the great scriptures.
The great scriptures.
They focus on eternality. Eternality? Spiritual.
Yes, yes, yes.
Temporality?
Uh-huh.
Physical.
Physical.
Mm-hmm. Eternality? The unseen.
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 Temporality? What we see. Somebody said, well, shouldn't we prioritize and focus on the things that we resonate with the more, which would be the things that are around us on a daily basis. After all, I got responsibilities. I got a family. Yes, you do. I had a job. Some of us. Yes, we do. And each day there are problems that we have to deal with. Yes, you do. Where the ministry has failed is that we're trying to deal with physicality through physicality.
What do you mean, physicality? That's it.
You cannot change anything. You cannot determine anything. Through physicality. Somebody said, why? Shouldn't we get out here and try to do this, then the other, so forth, and then join whatever organization you wish to. And do what you can. But the ministry focus is eternality, because spirituality determines physicality. Now, here's what we get sort of mixed up. When we say spiritual, we don't understand what we're saying. We think that spiritual is physical, what is physically souped up.
Right.
So we call it super. Supernatural. No. Physicality is what you see. Spirituality is what God is saying.
That's right.
And the ministry, while we can participate in the earthly regions of temporality, we must do so scripturally from eternality.
Hallelujah.
The unseen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
As Paul was going through, and as he outlays here in the passage, in one place, he says, I'm going through a lot of trouble, and you know all of the trouble that I went through in Asia. And I want to comfort you with the comfort that comforted me.
That comforted me. All right.
I want you to be encouraged by what I was encouraged. Well, if we get out here and we do this, that, and the other, then isn't that the way we encourage ourselves, so forth, and so on? No. It doesn't work that way. In Asia, Paul went through many things. I'm going to just briefly outline some of them. In the book of Acts, it tells us that a mob was after him in Acts chapter 19. And they were not there to congratulate him.
No.
How he was delivered from the Asian Jews in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 21. In fact, in Acts chapter 23, there was a group that came together and they made an oath that they were not going to eat until Paul was dead. So you know those are not long-term plans. In Acts 25, the plan was to ambush him and kill him between Caesarea and Jerusalem, and that fell through. And so as he suffered in Asia, he said, I want to comfort you with the comfort or encouragement that I was comforted with. Follow me. I'm going to go slow this morning.
Amen.
Amen. I'm got to work myself back up into the old delivery. Amen. Thank God that I'm standing here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. He said in verse 9, we had the sentence of death in ourselves so that we wouldn't trust in ourselves. That's, he's given here God's purpose and reason for all of these things befalling Paul.
Oh, hallelujah.
I mean, with this great message of grace that he'd given Paul, like in human thinking, he would have just had carte blanche and everything that he needed to convey this message. It was just opposite.
Opposite.
But God's methodology is different from ours.
Yes, sir.
So we had the sentence of death in ourselves, and that is in the perfect tense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Said we had and what? Having. In other words,
yes.
This is still a dangerous job.
Yes. Yes.
Because if you preach this, people are not going to like you. They're not going to flock.
No.
To the things that they can't physically relate to.
Bring it out. Bring it out.
Not going to be able to pack the house talking about things people can't physically resonate with. And in this case, he was going against tradition.
All right.
And the thought was to get rid of him.
Oh,
I think about Paul in Antioch, how he was driven out of Antioch. So he left there and went down into Iconium. And the brethren who were in Antioch, they were not satisfied that
Paul
had left Antioch.
Nope.
They followed him down to Iconium and then stirred up the people there against him. Because they didn't just want him gone out of Antioch.
No.
They wanted him gone.
Gone.
You know what I mean. Gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then he left Antioch and he went into Lystra.
Lystra.
Oh.
And the brothers from Antioch and from Iconium followed him into Lystra. They weren't satisfied that he had left Antioch and then left Iconium. Mm-hmm. And there, as the record shows, he was stoned.
Stone.
And yet God had a purpose for that.
Yes, he did. Come on with it. Come on with it. Yes.
He allowed him to see things
that
he wouldn't have seen if he hadn't gone through that ordeal.
Ooh, glory to God.
And I said to you this morning,
come on.
God has a purpose for your ordeal.
Yes, amen.
Whatever you're going through,
Jesus.
It is for your good.
Jesus.
It is for your advantage.
Yes, amen.
You're going to be the better for it. As he worketh all things together for good.
Amen.
For those he has caused to love him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But as he says here, we had the sentence of death in us, and we were delivered, and not only we were delivered, we are being delivered. So it is an ongoing process of suffering and deliverance.
Suffering and deliverance.
And that's what life is. In relationship to service to God. Anyone that don't that doesn't want any muss, any fuss, don't sign up in this army.
Amen.
If you want to be popular, this is the wrong place to do it from. If you're going to prioritize and express eternality over temporality,
yes, indeed.
Many times you're going to be alone. like John on the island of Patmos. Now, Brother Deacon, I want you to read from the Greek. Interlinear, verse 12. Everybody got, now if you don't have your Greek interlinear, and for those that are watching, and I'm going real slow, I know I'm going slow. We utilize this, but then we still go through exegesis. And the reason why we utilize the interlinear is he has the Greek script in the above, and he's compelled to put some English word below. So his feet are held closer to the fire as far as in as far as translation is concerned, and he can't go off on some tangent of editing.
Hallelujah.
Or if he does, he has to put some notation there to let you know that he has left the script.
Right.
All right, now with that said, read.
Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning verse 12, from the interlinear Greek text. For the boasting of us.
Our boasting, our bragging, our glorying. Read.
This is the testimony of the conscience of us.
The testimony of the conscience. Now, you notice the difference there. The testimony of our conscience.
Come on with it. Come on.
Now I want you to notice the Greek noun there. Synesthesios, which is translated conscious. But it goes a little deeper than that. Here you have the compound word with the prefix syn. And then aesthesius, the two combined together. Now aesthesius, as it is expressed here in this form, aesthesios, translated conscious, or rendered conscious. That is the sensation of what you feel.
Amen. Yes.
What you basically connect with.
Connect with.
Mentally. The opposite of that would be anesthesias. Anesthesias. Are transliterated into English anesthesia. I know a little about that, having gone through two operations. Let's walk through this slowly. I've got two sessions I can deal with. If I don't get but so far, amen. It's best to pick up a little and have every piece of that than for me to run through this like some teachers' classes I was in school. Their goal was to cover the material. And they would go so fast sometimes they would lose the class. But if we cover the material and nobody knows what's in the material, would that be accomplished? There was a man that used to say, I don't know much, but what I do know, I know it to pieces.
Yes.
So that's that whatever you know it to pieces.
Amen.
Than to know or be exposed to a little here and a little there. Anesthesia. It sears or separates the conscious. And I went into the operation I made a little joke in the operating room, and I said to the anesthesiologist, was getting ready to drug, I said, now you make sure you put enough in there. Because I'm not afraid of death, but I am definitely afraid of pain.
Praise Jesus. Praise.
So I want to make sure that I don't know anything. So it separated my conscience from what was going on. Here, this word is the opposite of that. The pronoun, the Greek pronoun "seen" means together. Anytime you see that preceding the word, it means together. So it means to align the conscious. So the testimony of our conscience is aligned in what? Read. Did you get that? Amen. Let's go forward.
The testimony of the conscience of us, because in sanctity or singleness.
Now you know, I've had occasion to hear ministers preach this on another passage, and they put the word for this Greek word there. Simplicity. Basically. And I heard one message talking about the simplicity that is in Christ. And call himself preaching from Paul's epistles. How can you get simplicity out of revelation of the mystery? That which is a mystery has to be revealed and unraveled.
Come on here.
In another place, Paul speaks of it as the unreachable, the searchable riches of Christ. That Greek word means untraceable.
Right, okay.
You don't pick this up through human knowledge, so there's nothing simple about it.
Hallelujah.
When 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. So what he is speaking of is the singleness of sincerity or genuineness of that which is authentic. Of that which is actual.
Actual.
Yes.
Which is what you find in eternality. The actual is not physically knowable.
Glory.
And it's certainly not physically seen or seeable.
Praise God.
Glory.
And so he said, we align our conscience, the testimony of our conscience is aligned with the singleness that is in the authenticity of what is actualized in the unseeable and the unknowable.
Yes.
Except in spirituality. Again, what is spirituality?
Seeing what God is saying.
What God is saying.
Yes. Amen.
Remember, Paul writes to these same Corinthians. Says, natural man knoweth what?
They
know the things of God because they're what?
Spiritually
knowable. Are revealed.
Yes.
So we know the things of God through what he has said. Not through what we physically see.
Amen.
Yes.
And so this is where the ministry falls short. In ministry. First of all, let's define ministry. What is the ministry? The ministry is the message. So what is our message? Is it about the things around us per se, prima facie? Or is it about what God has said? What is more real? What God has said or what we see?
God has said.
And so he said, we align ourselves. Finish reading that, Brother Deacon.
The conscious of us, because in singleness and sincerity of God.
Is in the genitive case, and that deals with what belongs to God, or what is associated with God, and that is his word.
Amen.
Not.
So we are leaning upon God's word, and blotted out what we were seeing while we were troubled in Asia.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Read.
And sincerity of God and not in wisdom flesh.
Not stop. Not in fleshly wisdom. You know, another verse that you won't find me in the ministry about is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2.
That's it.
If you are in the deed, since you are co-risen with Christ, are risen together with Christ, pay attention, are prioritized, what? Yeah, above things, which are what? Unseen. And then it says, pay attention, again, prioritize, what? No. The above things. And then, as he says here, when he says not in flesh of wisdom in that verse in Colossians, what do you think not the things of the earth mean? But that's exactly what we do in the flesh. The things around us, the things that we see, the things that we physically touch, taste, hear, and physically connect with are more real to us than what God has said. Sadly. And many ministries, because they want to grow numerically, and amen, if that's, they figure that's their calling, I go argue with them. They focus on what's around us as though we can fix it. Now here, what's in temporality is a reflection in a mirror, obscurely. Darkly, as the King James brings out in another passage that Paul has written. In a mirror. Darkly. Obscurely. And even if you're looking in the mirror and you can see that your tie is crooked, are you going to reach into the mirror and straighten your tie? No. But this is what we are seeking to do in time, in temporality. God's calling is to help save the world. When I hear that, I go, what?
Right, right.
Help change the world. I go, what? Mm-mm. Rescue the world.
No.
I go,
no.
What?
No.
The essence of ministries seeking through politics, through economics, and I'm not saying that we don't participate in some things. We just don't depend upon them.
Right. Right. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Someone said, and I quote this as close as I can, you feed him, you teach, you give a man a fish, you do what? You feed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you feed him for life. Well, I'm going to do a little knowledge comparison here. What is supplied on the earth through time is in temporality.
It is. It sure is.
What abides in heaven, the places in Christ forever,
glory,
is in eternality.
Yes.
So if it's got to be one or the other. If you're going to do both, you still got to prioritize eternality over temporality.
Amen.
Because that's where things actually are.
Actually.
So Paul said, here's how we were comforted through all of this. We align our conscience in eternality. Finish that up, Brother Deacon. Just that one verse.
Not in fleshly wisdom,
mm-hmm.
but in grace of God.
In the grace of God, and many do not understand the grace message. Do not understand, cannot appreciate the grace message because we don't understand it.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
If we really, really could get the impact and the extent of the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
it would literally blow our minds.
Yes, amen. 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 Hallelujah.
But if we annex it to temporality, then the grace of God comes and goes. But it is solely centered in eternality. And so it came in eternity, and it is in eternity.
It is.
And it overshadows time.
Yes, indeed it does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Finish it up.
Mm-hmm.
But in grace of God, we behaved in the world.
We lived in the world, or we conducted ourselves in the world, or we lived.
Mm-hmm.
That deals with the doctrine of what? Peripatiology. That is our walk in God. So our walk was in the testimony of our aligning our conscience
right.
into the essence of God.
Right.
Singly.
Yes. Yes.
And this is how we live through all that turmoil.
Praise Jesus. Mm-hmm.
This is what Paul is saying. Did you finish that?
More especially,
and
with you.
This is what we will minister to you.
Mm-hmm.
The most worthy of our ministering is eternality.
Amen.
I mean, solving the world's problems. The word temporality should show us that that's. It's like leaks in a boat.
Amen.
You spring a leak,
mm-hmm.
and you go. Then another one sprout up.
mm-hmm.
Then another one, another one, another one. After a while, it's time to what? Abandon ship.
Absolutely.
In temporality.
Temporality.
Even the millennial age of the 1,000-year reign of Christ is temporary.
Mm-hmm. Temporary. Yeah. Temporary.
The way we get to completion and finality is we eliminate temporality. When time is gone,
gone.
After the war of the Armageddon, time is what? Eradicated.
No more.
And the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. And that's eternal. So here we have something that is temporary. We have something that is forever. On a prioritized basis, what should be the message? That which is uninterruptible.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul said that we went through all of these things on the basis that the testimony of our conscience was aligned in eternality, which overshadowed everything in temporality. This is what he said here. Now, how does this work? I want you to, in my time here for the day is rapidly coming to a close. Let's go to the fourth chapter. Remember when Paul ran off that litany of things? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. This is his testimony. Brother Deacon, read verse 7. Yeah, start with the Greek. We don't have time. We're going to run out of time anyway. But.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Everybody got it? If you don't have the Greek in the lineage, you just follow along. We're into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And we're talking about the real deal of life. Because most of us live in illusion. Read.
7 and 6.
We're not going to have time. Yeah, we'll jump back on that next week.
All right. Mm-hmm. Now we're reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning verse 7, straight from the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Paul writes, and we have this treasure.
Stop. What treasure? What is he talking? They used to teach us the treasure was the Holy Ghost. That's not what Paul did. Mm-hmm. The context shows us that he's talking about the light that shineth out of the darkness, which is what?
The knowledge.
Knowledge.
Right.
Now, where do we have it?
We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthenware vessels
are within. God has given us the illumination. Mm-hmm. Not all of us now. It's like when Paul is writing in other passages that we briefly alluded to, and he says that natural man knows not the things of God, and then in that same context, he speaks and he says, eyes haven't seen, not ears heard, not has it entered into the hearts of the minds of men, the things that God has prepared to him, but he has revealed them unto who? To us. That's to those whom God has chosen to reveal. And Paul doesn't know who they are, and we don't know who they are. And of course, somebody's going to jump in and say, now you're saying if you don't understand this, you're not saying that's not,
no.
That's not what we're saying.
No, amen.
But for his purpose, he gives this illumination to some. And so this treasure is given to some in order for what?
In order that the excellency of the power may be of
God. So that we know that.
And not of us.
This thing is of God. Everything is according to God. And so in verse 8. He gives a litany of things. And remember this now. As he speaks, it's of God. So God would be in the active voice of those things that he speaks of here.
Right here.
In each case.
Mm-hmm. Each case.
Both the suffering.
Yes.
And the response to the suffering.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
How do the testimony of aligning the conscious in eternality? As we go through this litany, we'll see the temporality of things inflicted and then we see the eternality of those same things restricted.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Not in parts or components, but in the completion of eternality.
Eternality.
Yes.
In other words, what is broken is already fixed.
Already.
Amen. Already.
Yes. When you're focusing on eternality. Read those, Brother Deacon. In every way.
In every way.
Mm-hmm.
Being afflicted.
That's temporality.
But not being restrained.
That's eternality.
being
you're not subject to the things that are inflicted upon you because they are confined to the existence, according to Romans chapter 8, of having been subjected by God. But they're restricted in that they cannot pass past
nope.
the essence
nope.
that all of these objections are in hope.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the hope is in God.
Yes, indeed.
You've heard of the hope of God, the love of God. Amen. These are all the things that frees us. And the peace of God.
Peace of God.
So Paul picks up the peace of God here. As we go through these, we see what is inflicted upon him, but then what his response is. And you notice these are all, we don't have time, are in the passive voice.
They are, indeed.
Right?
Indeed.
Passive voice, yes.
So here, in temporality, he's afflicted in eternality, he's not restrained. Read.
Being in difficulties.
In temporality.
But.
We know that we are in the difficulties of life.
Yes.
Everybody in here knows the difficulties of life.
Yes.
But how many know the antigen of that?
Deliver. Despair, not despair.
But not what?
But not despairing.
So, in temporality, difficulties. In eternality, not despairing.
Not.
In other words, hope, not hopeless.
Amen.
Read verse 9.
Being persecuted.
That's in temporality.
But not being deserted.
In eternality. How can you ever be deserted and you're in Christ?
In Christ.
You've never left him. Read.
Being cast down.
That is in temporality.
But
not perishing.
Never perishing. And the riddle. Is that always the dying of Jesus, and I'm going to have to just run through this thing, in the body, bearing about, in other words, the testimony. Someone asked me this week about suffering. God is so good. Why? What is this, all this suffering about? Why does he allow you? You turn on the news and you see all of this. As it relates to the child of God, his purpose is identifying with the suffering of Christ.
Identify with. Amen.
Plus the contrast between love and hate. We embrace love because we know what hate is. And we want no part of that.
Amen. Amen.
We embrace peace.
Peace.
Because we don't like chaos.
That's right.
We embrace joy.
Yay.
Because we don't like what? Sadness.
Yes.
And so as Jesus went through these things, we identify with him.
Yes.
And that
yes.
Father certifies in us
yes.
our place in Christ.
Yes.
Oh, give him a praise.
Yes. Yes.
All right, one more verse. Let's leave that.
And
let's go down to 4:18.
Not 2 Corinthians.
Give him a chance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Okay. And you don't hear this hardly ever preached. In fact, I have never heard this preached over the air. Read.
From the interlinear Greek text, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Not considering
us. We are not looking or considering
The things being seen.
The things seen. Now, what do you mean? I see it, don't I? Don't I have to consider it if I see it? Dependent upon the density of what you see.
That's right. Oh, have mercy.
As the controlling factor as to what it is. Read.
But the things not being seen.
So we don't look at what we see, but we look at what we can't see. Somebody said, that doesn't make sense, and that's why it's not preached. Because they're using the flesh as the mental pole.
Oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to Jesus.
There's a spiritual you.
Yes. Yes. Come on with it. Yes.
More specifically, you are in the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
And have been there from eternity.
Absolutely.
And you were only temporarily encapsulated into this flesh.
Temporarily.
For testimony's sake. So you're more in Christ than you're more in the flesh. Oh, give him.
Hallelujah.
Hey!
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Our problem is we don't know who we are.
Amen.
Now, here it is telling us, don't look at the things that are seen physically. Don't consider them. Don't contemplate them. Don't prioritize them.
That's it.
You want to know what is? It's not what you see. What is what you don't see. Well, what is it I don't see?
Glory.
In the physical mindset, you can't see the Word of God. You can't see the things of God. Because they're what?
Spiritual.
They have to be revealed to us. Oh, how much we are blessed as we sit here in God's Word.
Blessed. Amen. Yes.
Is revealed to us. Oh, I mean.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
So you have the things that are seen, but they're all in temporality. And you have the things that are unseen, and they are what? In eternality. In God's saying. God's word. God's saying. And what you see is on a reflection. Or maybe even a refraction, as we've said. Because we look at through the mirror obscurely.
Amen.
And so things are not really reflected as much as they are refracted. And depending upon what angle you're looking at. A thing causes the refraction instead of the reflection.
Reflection. Hallelujah.
Now, that tells us that we don't look at the things that us that we see, and that's exactly what we do.
That's what we do.
And that's exactly what the ministering is doing.
That's it.
Someone said to me, why don't you talk about things that people can understand?
Oh.
You didn't come here for a refresher course. You came here for revelation.
Glory, glory.
So you're expecting to receive the things that you don't know, not the things that through the flesh you know. Because the things of God are spiritually discerned and revealed. And that's all in eternality. And he said the things that of God that you don't see, they're eternal. That's eternality. And the things that you're looking at and dealing with is running you crazy, tearing your hair out, and causing all this anxiety. They're temporal. It's temporary. Thank God it's temporary.
Hallelujah.
The things that we see. All right, I'm going to do the first paragraph of this document, and then I probably need 5 or 6 outings on this, but amen. We'll, next week, we'll try to at least bring us to a point where we'll have a piece of it, but then we'll know the piece, 2 pieces. In other words, you know every aspect of it. That what he's talking about here is that as we align our conscience in eternality, we can deal with the things that are around us. And that's the comfort that Paul said to these Corinthians, I want to comfort you with the comfort that I was comforted. Everybody got the document. Purpose of realizing divergent significations of eternality from temporality. Eternal perspective should be more influential. Everybody got it? Amen. Eternal perspective should be more influential in steering God's people through daily difficulties.
Right.
The scriptures events are evidence that human contemplations are even dimly aware of the extensive encouragement instilled beyond time's courses in the eternal sphere. The solitary and most pertinent of all factors is the way spirituality is supposedly emphasized on the one hand. They said it, they're doing it. While human convention focuses with remarkable so-called pragmatic attention to temporal needs on the other. So if we're just dealing with the physical man, and that's our total ministry, then we have a whole ministry. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. You have a broken ministry.
Jesus.
In fact, an axiom, an aphorism, a saying, popular saying of this idea, and this is how they're coming against us in criticism, that any religion that can't save people temporarily has no valid claim to do so spiritually. That is ridiculous. What is claimed, I've heard in these camps, is that a ministry shouldn't just be engaged in preparing the people for the next world, but it should be one which instills in its members in tangible ways the need for providing, living in the present, and that's what you do, but you do it from
the eternal perspective.
Eternality.
That's right. Amen.
In other words, we deal with time from eternity. We deal with the seen from the unseen. We deal with the physical from the spiritual. And we say spiritual, we're talking about what God is saying. This is how Paul was able to go through all of the things that he went through in Asia.
Hallelujah.
This perception is defined as the need for self-reliance. We'll pick this up next week. Education and career development. All of these things are good. We're going to eventually have some programs that deals in these areas. But as well as charitable service to the needy. And they don't have the means to buy it for themselves. But they cannot be our mantra.
Mm-hmm.
That can't be our primary mode of ministering. You feed the hungry, the hunger. Or those that are hungry, they're going to get hungry again. Jesus said, the poor what?
Always
have with you. Because whatever is there and whatever you do is only a temporary fix.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus is the encouragement that causes us to dwell above the fray of the things that are around us. Above the radar of those things that entrap us. Those things that discourage us.
Hallelujah.
Those things that downright frighten us.
All right.
And how do we do that? Yes. We do that in the essence of conveying the things that are above, the things that are eternal,
yeah.
And when we do that,
yes.
I think I heard when I was upstairs, you singing earlier, Blessed Assurance. That's our message.
Mm-hmm.
That's in eternality.
That's
Jesus is mine.
Yeah, hey.
Oh, what a foretaste. What a preview
yeah.
of glory. Divine. You're in eternality now.
Yes, yes, eternality.
I'm in all of salvation. Mm-hmm. Purchase of God.
Hallelujah.
Born of His Spirit.
Yeah.
Washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my testimony.
Glory, God.
And this is what causes me to praise my Savior. Not all the day long. I think that we, without getting in trouble with the copyright, could insert instead of all the day long, I'm praising my Savior because above everything, I am His own. God bless you.